Hi, and today, let's go to the movies. No, let's watch TV. Big Show host Marco Werman and I, we're going to the movies, we're watching TV in search of some very odd languages created exclusively for the screen. Some role reversal here. Marco is playing host, as in host of this podcast, and I'm playing guest.
You might have heard stories, including on this show, about how many of the world's languages are going extinct. But as so many languages die away, a few new ones are being born. Patrick Cox is here. He's the world's language editor. And Patrick, what languages are we talking about, these new ones?
Well, pretty much the only languages to emerge now are invented languages. They've been around for a while, as we will hear in a little bit. But there's a subset of those languages that have been invented for fictional purposes. You think of the elvish languages of J.R.R. Tolkien and The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And Tolkien himself, he was a trained linguist. He based his invented languages very much on his observation of real live languages. So it was very much a serious pursuit.
Right, as it is now for Hollywood.
Yes, movies and television, they've very much taken up the mantle of inventing credible languages that have a whole range of grammatical rules and follow an internal logic.
Well, Patrick, let's listen to this report from Saul Gonzalez of radio station KCRW in Santa Monica on the latest language created by Hollywood.
This is a language spoken by fierce warriors in a far-off land. But it's a language that's entirely invented by a really nice guy who lives in a studio apartment in Southern California. David Peterson, a UC Berkeley-trained linguist, is the creator of the Dothraki language for HBO's Game of Thrones. He works in the rarefied field of constructed languages. He and people like him don't just study languages, they make up new ones from scratch. Peterson's invented a dozen, as he showed me on his computer.
Those are all separate languages?
Yeah, these are all languages I've created.
So hold on. Valerian Tetrict Tantils? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
No, but you're being polite.
Okay, Skroth?
Oh, yeah.
Mbasa? Now, Peterson was creating his languages in relative obscurity when he heard that Hollywood had a gig for someone with his talents.
There's a job to create a language for a television show. Anybody's interested, apply.
The language was Dothraki, and the show was the HBO fantasy series Game of Thrones, adapted from the popular series of books. Starting from the book series, which had a handful of Dothraki phrases, Peterson went to work creating a 300-page book of vocabulary and grammar for the language.
The Dothraki are, you know, a kind of a natural horse-riding, semi-barbarous people, and they were looking for a language that kind of embodied that aesthetic. So something that I think to the ear of an English speaker sounds a little gruff or rough while at the same time sounding authentic.
Peterson says people have been making up languages for centuries, often for philosophical or religious reasons.
The first one that we have on record came in the 12th century, and that was a language called Lingua Ignota by Hildegard von Bingen. She was an abbess. She created these, what she called lingua ignota, kind of hidden letters, words that she felt were divinely inspired.
Probably the best-known created language is Esperanto. It was invented in the 19th century as a way to bring about world peace by giving people a common international language. Later, Hollywood got into the Created Language Act as a way to bring greater authenticity to films and TV shows. Perhaps the most famous example is the invention of Klingon for the Star Trek movies.
Star Trek itself had such a huge following that the very notion that there could be a language in the films really kind of took off and got people excited.
In the years since, languages have been created for films like Avatar, but because Dothraki is for a television series that could run for many seasons, it might end up having the widest vocabulary so far of any Hollywood language.
Let's talk in the language. Could you give me a lesson? Could you give me some survival phrases?
Well, first we could start off very simply. If you want to greet somebody respectfully, you say Mathjo Maroon.
Mathjo Maroon?
Mathjo Maroon.
And can we move to the insults without something that's so four-lettered?
Without something that's four-lettered? Gosh, that's kind of tough. The word for somebody you don't respect is ifak and that's IFAK, and it means literally walker, so somebody who walks. They're kind of a horse riding people. They respect people who ride horses well. If somebody's just, you know, a walker, they're clearly not somebody that is worthy of your attention. The first thing that whenever you're doing one of these languages for like a show or a TV show, the thing that they want to know is like, all right, what are the insults? How can you really, really insult somebody? And of course, you got to come up with a whole bunch of different ones because, you know, there's a chance that they're not going to quite like the sound of the first one you come up with. So you got to have options.
But Peterson acknowledges not all people in the language creation community are happy with the Hollywood exposure.
For example, there's a rather vocal minority who believes that we shouldn't have created languages in any movies or films because they see it as kind of a private activity, something that they do, something that's special to them. And the more people who know about it, the less special it is. That said, I think my approval rating is above 50% within the language creation community.
And Peterson already has his next Hollywood gig lined up. He's creating two new languages for a coming series produced by Steven Spielberg for the Sci-Fi Network. For The World, I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles.
So Patrick Cox, who said Hollywood was averse to any language that isn't English, full steam ahead with language production in Tinseltown, I guess.
Yeah, and not just Hollywood, Marco. Bollywood appears to be getting in the act, too. There's a big budget movie out of India coming out at the end of this month. It's called Joker. It's a comedy sci-fi. You get the idea with the subtitle. It's sometimes being an alien is the only option. Here's a little excerpt from the trailer. Now, Marco, the movie is in Hindi with lots of English words thrown in. But according to local reports, it also has some dialogue and an invented language called, I'll get the pronunciation of this wrong, Galaguzi. And the twist here is that although there are aliens who feature in this movie, it's not the aliens who speak this invented language. It's a group of people who live in an off-the-grid village.
In India, presumably.
In India.
I mean, it's kind of odd. Why make up a language if you've got so many minority languages in India that moviegoers probably wouldn't even recognize?
Right. It might have just been easier from a research point of view and accuracy point of view just to make a language up. There's much more on language invention in other pods. There are at least three previous pods on them, which I'll link to at theworld.org/language. But the best one to listen to is a conversation I had with Erica Ockrent. She wrote a book called In the Land of Invented Languages, Esperanto Rockstars, Klingon Poets, Loglan Lovers, and the Mad Dreamers Who Tried to Build a Perfect Language. It's a wonderful book. She really teased out the meaning of language invention and why it's doomed to failure if the goal is for people to actually speak the languages in question. There are, of course, different goals for languages used in fiction, and Ockrent deals with that too. But aside from anything else, the book is just such an affectionate and funny account of obsessive behavior, which, let's face it, we all have it. Like, have I got better things to do than sit in a stuffy, windowless room and put out podcasts? No, I haven't actually. Which does mean that I'll be back next week. So until then, goodbye. Let's say it in Dothraki. And I don't want to just say goodbye. So how about this? Ezas eshna gech achili. That means, well, if you pronounce it correctly, it means find another hole to dig. It's an insult. So maybe I should say it more like an insult. Ezas eshna gech achili. See you next week.